A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. There was an attempt in Iconium by both the Gentiles and the Jews, together with their leaders, to attack and stone Paul and Barnabas. They realized it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe, and to the surrounding countryside, where they continued to proclaim the good news. At Lystra, there was a crippled man, lame from birth, who had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, who looked intently at him, saw that he had the faith to be healed, and called out in a loud voice, "Stand up, straight on your feet." He jumped up and began to walk about. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they cried out in Lycaonian, "The gods have come down to us in human form." They called Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance to the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gate, for he, together with the people, intended to offer sacrifice. The apostles Barnabas and Paul tore their garments when they heard this and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We are of the same nature as you, human beings. We proclaim to you good news, that you should turn from these idols to the living God, who made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all Gentiles to go their own ways. Yet in bestowing his goodness, he did not leave himself without witness. For he gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, and filled you with nourishment and gladness for your hearts." Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the crowds from offering sacrifice to them. The word of the Lord. Not to us, O Lord, but to your name give the glory. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Because of your mercy, because of your truth, why should the pagans say, "Where is their God?" Our God is in heaven. Whatever he wills, he does. Their idols are silver and gold, the handiwork of men. May you be blessed by the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Heaven is the heaven of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the children of men.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." Judas, not the Iscariot, said to him, "Master, then what happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Verbum Domini. At the end of each morning Mass here at EWTN, we are joined by many of you in praying for vocations. We beg God our Father to send laborers into his harvest to provide the grace needed to speak his word with all boldness, so that God's eternal word may spread and be glorified. And we see a great example of this boldness in the vocation of the saint our church celebrates today, Saint Catherine of Siena, who, in addition to sainthood, was declared a doctor of the church and has been called the greatest woman in all of Christendom, next to our Blessed Mother, of course. While there are many things to know about Saint Catherine Benincasa, one attribute in particular is that her family name, Benincasa, actually means welcome home. And while living on earth, this is what she did. She made a welcome home for God within her heart. And this is what Jesus instructs us to do in the gospel today. He desires to make a home in us when he says, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him." Jesus transforms everything, and he wants to transform our hearts, making them little homes for himself. G.K. Chesterton, in his book Orthodoxy, references a fictional scenario of an alien who came upon a human being on Earth and observed that man is like two halves put together, and how he would at once see that what is on the left would also be on the right. One arm on the right, one on the left, the same for each leg, right and left. Same number of fingers, twin eyes and ears, and even internally, two lobes of the brain, lungs. And then noticing perhaps a heart on the left, would expect that we would also have a heart on the right. But not finding one there, he might think this is because our hearts are in the wrong place. And perhaps this is not too far from the truth. And that our task is to allow Jesus to align our hearts with his. If you may notice, we have a beautiful statue of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in our chapel, where his heart, as is often depicted in this devotion, is directly in the center. The same for the Immaculate Heart of Mary statue as well. Maybe that was the original design for man. I don't know. But I do know that Jesus wants our hearts. Jesus, who himself lamented in Scripture how foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head, and yet he wants to make a home within us. Our psalm response for today is, "Not to us, O Lord, but to your name give the glory." And we see this instruction given in the first reading, where Saints Paul and Barnabas, after the curing of a crippled man, are approached by the crowds who wish to offer sacrifice to them. The Lyconians knew that on some level, a sacrifice was needed in response to the healing that had just taken place. However, Saint Paul instructed them that while yes, a sacrifice is indeed necessary, the Lyconians were not the ones to carry it out. In fact, it was already done by Jesus himself on the cross. St. Paul convinces them that it is not to us, but to the Lord that glory is given. That is not to say that we cannot participate in the sacrifice of Christ. In fact, our Catholic faith teaches us that it is indeed possible for our suffering to be used for good. In one of the many letters St. Catherine wrote, she mentioned in a letter to her brother about being patient in suffering, that in life we will have suffering, but to remember three things. First, that life is short. While we will no doubt suffer, it will not last long. Second, is to know that suffering is fruitful, that it contributes to our salvation. We see this noted in Romans chapter 8. If we are sons, we are heirs, heirs indeed of God, fellow heirs with Christ, if only we suffer with him, so we may be glorified with him. I judge that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us. Finally, St. Catherine notes what we have to lose, which is the very real risk of losing our eternity with God in heaven and suffering greatly, eternally. In this, St. Catherine advised her brother and us to suffer patiently and wait on the Lord. As Mother Angelica once said about suffering, it is because Jesus suffered and we unite our pain to his, and that suffering changes and transforms us. Only in eternity shall we see the beauty of the soul, and only then shall we realize what great things were accomplished by interior suffering. The one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church is a great gift from God, for within it are the saints and the sacraments, through which we have the fullness of the faith and the means for making a welcome home for God in our hearts, and by the grace of God, one day enter the home he has prepared for us in heaven. And so we pray, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name, give the glory.